is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, and welcome to it. Capital Day here on the Steve Gruber Show. Glad to have you along for the conversation today. Today's program, special programming brought to you by our sponsors, Health Partners, Centria Healthcare, and the Eisenhower Center. Capital Day brought to you by the Brain Injury Association of Michigan, sponsored by that group, talking about catastrophic injuries and how no-fault insurance may help you and your family not go bankrupt in the event of a bad car accident resulting in a traumatic injury. So more on that coming up here on the program today. We'll have, in fact, Matt Bluen will be here, Director of Marketing for Centria. Also today, Julie Gunlock, Liz Peek, and Sean Tuma on the way. But first, during the break here, I was talking to John Prosser, who was on the program here moments ago, the vice president of Health Partners, talking about no fault. He was here. But we got to talking about the Democratic Party. And after their stunning loss, Hillary Clinton's stunning loss in November, you know, it was time to back up and retool and rediscuss who they are as a party, you know, who they are ideologically, who they are, what is their vision, what do they believe in? Because one of the things when we had the authors on from Shattered last week on the program, one of the things that Hillary Clinton could not articulate, that she could not explain to people or explain to people well, certainly, was why she was running for president at all. I mean, why did she, what was she trying to accomplish? What was she trying to be for you, for me, for the American people? What was Hillary Clinton trying to be president for? To change what? To do what? What was her agenda? You know, raise minimum wage? Look out for the little guy? Those are talking points. Those are all fine. Well, but, you know, Ronald Reagan fundamentally wanted to change America and help Americans and be proud of America. He had an overwhelming surge, the shining city on the hill. So when Hillary Clinton lost her presidential bid, Democrats struggled to find a new face for the party and a clear vision for the road ahead. And what they came up with is even more baffling. Labor Secretary Tom Perez. You've seen this guy. Former Labor Secretary Tom Perez, who's now the DNC chair, who makes Debbie Wasserman Schultz look like a hero by comparison. Last week, here's the latest example of, I'm going to call this the Oracle in Omaha. Not that one, but here's an Oracle out of Omaha, because Democrats should be paying very close attention to what just happened in the race to become mayor of Omaha, Nebraska. Because last week, the Democrats were hoping they would widen their tent. They backed a pro-life candidate, Heath Mello, in his bid to become the mayor of Omaha. But he failed to clinch the seat and got thumped by the Republican Gene Stothert by more than 6 points. Now, some observers see Senator Bernie Sanders stumping for Mello, as he did on April 20th, as the moment that the focus shifted the race to a single issue. And here's how it was summed up. Omaha is a moderate to conservative city in the heart of the nation. It's the home of many white-collar workers that, you know, they could go either way. They lean a little bit Republican, but if there was a good candidate, they could go to the left. But here's their problem. Bernie Sanders is an East Coast Marxist, and he has no appeal whatsoever to the majority of voters in Omaha, because the majority of voters in Omaha don't believe in this Marxist, socialist, communist worldview that is perpetuated by Bernie Sanders and his followers. It's just, the support just isn't there in middle America, which is why you can look at what happened on the 8th of November. That same support does not exist. It does not exist in Wisconsin, by and large, or Pennsylvania, or right here in Michigan. It doesn't exist in Indiana or Ohio or Kentucky. In 99% of Illinois, it doesn't exist. They have a couple of counties that it does that overwhelm the others. Now, the second mistake, the first mistake, they bring in Bernie Sanders in this race for this mayor's office in Omaha. The second mistake is about abortion. You see, Senator Mello, under pressure, was advised by consultants to soften his position on abortion. You know, he is pro-life, has a pro-life voting record, but, you know, they don't want that. And once he softened on that, he was open to attack for flip-flopping on all of these issues. So bottom line, Bernie Sanders' visit was a fallout. But then here comes NARAL, the pro-choice American litmus test group. And in a statement put out, the actions today by the DNC to embrace and support a candidate for office who will strip women of one of the most critical constituencies of the party of our basic rights and freedom is not only disappointing, it is politically stupid. So here comes the litmus test that you must be an abortion supporter. There's no room in the Democratic Party if you are not a supporter of abortion. After that statement, DNC head Tom Perez stepped out to say, quote, every Democrat, like every American, should support a woman's right to make her own choices about her body and her health. Every Democrat and every American, is what he's saying, should support abortion. That is not negotiable, he went on to say, and should not change city by city or state by state. Newsflash. Newsflash. If you want to have a litmus test over a single issue like abortion, Mr. Perez, you will continue to lose and lose badly, as the Oracle of Omaha has just proven. The latest Oracle of Omaha has just proven. Meanwhile, while the Democrats are getting their clocks cleaned, all they can talk about on the left in the news media, CNN, is about impeaching Donald Trump for what we've not quite figured out. Donald Trump has been accused of no crimes. Nobody in his administration has been accused of any crimes. In fact, Michael Flynn has been cleared by the FBI of any criminal wrongdoing in their probe. He may have said inappropriate things. He may have misled people. He may have met with Russians. But did he commit a crime? So far, apparently not. So far, apparently not. So that brings us back to the distractions, the resistance. Onward Together, the resistance leader, Hillary Clinton, now back in full swing with her new pack, Onward Together. Onward where? Over the cliff? Onward into oblivion? Where are we going exactly, Madam Secretary? Where are we headed? What is your vision of America? What are you selling, Hillary Clinton? What are you selling, Tom Perez? Where are you taking your legions of people? I get it that it works in the Northeast. I get it that it works in Seattle and Portland and Los Angeles. But it doesn't work in Omaha, and it doesn't work in Michigan or Wisconsin or Pennsylvania or Ohio. So what is the vision of the Democratic Party besides, say, we've got to impeach Trump? Trump's the danger. He's with the Russians. Please, at some point that just wears terribly, terribly thin. All right, we'll take a quick breath. When we come back, Julie Gundlach will join me right here. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
I don't know when I just saw her with my best friend.
I just look at some stories and I just go, really? I just shake my head, scratch my head and go, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, of course. And there's been this nagging problem with college kids for years. What do you do with that annoying doobie when you're trying to drink your beer, apparently? Well, Goodwood Brewing Company tried to do something about that. And is now putting cannabis into its beer, into the can, and it's fully legal. So it's, you know, we've solved that age-old problem. My good friend Julie Gundlach joining me to sort this one out. Julie, welcome back to the program.
Finally, they've combined these two items. Finally.
You know, necessity, the mother, it's not quite that way, but it is true that Goodwood Brewing Company is adding cannabis to its beer, and somehow it's completely legal. Is this called hemp ghost? Is that how you say that?
I am not sure. This has not actually made it to my shopping list at the moment.
Oh, come on.
How long does this radio show go? I might be leaving right after for that.
Yes.
That might make my mommy duties a little easier. So yeah, of course they're doing this, and as we've seen for years, the use of you know, cannabis is much more socially acceptable now and legal in several states. So yeah, why not? I'm sure some enterprising business person is going to take advantage of this. That's the beauty of the free market.
Now, they say at this point they've refined it down to the point that there's not actually THC in the beer at this point, but certainly in places like Colorado where medical recreational marijuana is legal, this sort of thing, it's coming, and there's a vote probably brewing, no pun intended, here in Michigan as well for the legalization of marijuana. So for states, and there are several of them now, that have made recreational marijuana either legal enough, I should say, I suppose, that these sorts of products are not too far down the road, I don't believe.
No, absolutely not. I do. Again, I think that people are going to sort of be creative with these products. I find all of this a little bit depressing. I think that we should, it's interesting to watch these things unfold. You've got this nanny state who criticizes you if you give your children a bag of Cheetos, and yet the same politicians sort of want to push for the legalization of drugs. And so it's kind of
what I never understood, Julie. Here's what I didn't understand. They demonize the use of cigarettes but encourage smoking weed. I mean,
does this make
sense to anybody?
Part of it also is that there are edibles. So a lot of people choose not to smoke cannabis. They eat brownies or they eat food with pot in it. And so there's other ways. There's other delivery systems. But you're absolutely right. Look, combustion heat is what, with traditional cigarettes, the cigarette itself, the tobacco itself, these things. I mean, if you eat a tobacco leaf, you're not going to harm yourself. What gives you cancer is burning these things and that combustion and that heat, releasing a lot of toxins, and then those going into your lungs. You want the nicotine, you die of the tar, and that tar is created.
Right, they
from
create
the
smoke. Carcinogenic substances in the heat.
Yes, and the same thing happens.
Right.
Now,
speaking of upsetting.
So,
well. Well,
and nobody
you
seems
know.
To care about that. You're absolutely right. That nobody seems to care about when you burn pot and you're delivering smoke to your lungs. The same type of thing where there is a carcinogenic effect, and nobody seems to talk about that. But again, there are other things. There are edible products and things. How people kind of get that high that do not involve smoking.
Now, because we've got a couple of things I want to talk to you about, this next thing to me is the kind of thing that just makes me go, you've got to be joking. But the headline itself, and I know you've seen this headline, just jumps off the page. Michigan doctor's license suspended after allegedly performing liposuction procedures in an unfinished pole barn. And why wouldn't you? Hey, just come on over to the farm. I'll get out my equipment, and we're going to make you thin and trim in the next hour and a half. Yeah, Glenn, Michigan, Bradley Bastow had his license suspended in May just a short time ago for, here's the list, performing liposuction procedures in unsanitary conditions in an unfinished pole barn, improperly disposing and storing of medical waste, what did he do, throw it out back, improperly dispensing and recording the dispensing of controls, I mean, seriously, improperly mixing human and animal drugs, and the list goes on and on. I mean, first of all, he is an idiot. But excuse me, who the hell goes to a pole barn to get liposuction?
No, well, look, there are desperate people.
Who goes there?
Desperate people. There was a woman convicted just last year of, she put some sort of, it's like crazy glue into people's butt areas because people wanted to get, I mean, this woman had done it to herself and she's fully deformed, and yet people would go to her. In her apartment and let her...
Gluteus implants,
people are desperate.
Gluteus maximus implants, yeah.
And, of course, insecurity is a strong motivator. And so you do have people with very little money who are deeply insecure who will do this to themselves and who will go to a dirty barn to get liposuction. Look, I have days where I can't fit into my skinny jeans, and, you know, I'd probably trot over to a dirty barn. You know, I'm kidding. But you know, there are, you do have these desperate moments. Look, you know, Republicans a lot of times and conservatives and people on the right often get criticized for saying we should have less regulation. But, you know, a lot, there's an awful lot of reasonable Republicans that believe in certain licensing. Not for everyone. I really don't. You know, it's unbelievable how much red tape people have to go through to do business. I mean, interior decorators need, like, licenses. Like, what are they going to do? Like, kill you with a bolt of fabric? I mean, you know, and hair braiders, they need license. That overdoes it. But there should be licensing for medical procedures, and, you know, there should be inspections so that, you know, the state can make sure that people aren't performing liposuction in barns.
Yeah, if you're going to drive through liposuction, there certainly should be a licensing. I got to leave it there, but here's what I would suggest. If you're considering going to the pole barn for liposuction, just go help build the pole barn. Sweat a little bit, and then you won't need to go to the pole barn for I'm just throwing that out there. Julie, I got to run. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
All right, as we've talked about here this week for the past couple of days, you know, it's one thing to talk about, you know, fake news and so on and so forth, but fictional news, news made up out of whole cloth, is something wholly different, I believe. And I've got to be honest with you. I don't think that I can read the Washington Post headlines. I mean, breaking news. This is going on with James Comey and breaking news. And you find out the story is not just wrong, it's fictional. It's fictional, you know, like the James Comey was asking for more resources to investigate the Russian collusion investigation for Donald Trump. Totally not true. James Comey was asked to, you know, forget about Flynn and look at, you know, what's going on with the leaks. Actually, what was said is after Flynn was fired by the White House, Donald Trump said something to the effect of mine. Could you get past, can we put this behind us now? Or can we get past this? Because we really need to focus on the leaks, which is what I would do as president. My good friend and contributor, Liz Peek, here with us now. Liz, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
It's so hard for me. I mean, I don't know what to believe. Your phone goes off, your device, here's breaking news, and it says Washington Post, and I'm like, I don't even know if I should bother to read it anymore.
Well, I think that's right. I think the good news is that Trump supporters across the country really are tuning out a lot of this stuff. This probably is causing much more of a headache in the White House and in D.C. and in New York than it is in Michigan, I'm guessing. Because there, people didn't expect Donald Trump to be a smooth, conventional president. The fact that he says things off the cuff, that he tweets things that are not always appropriate, the fact that he deals with foreign heads of state or representatives in a very direct and sort of non-diplomatic way, that's kind of why he was elected, right? So,
absolutely.
In all these transactions and all these, as you point out, these stories, almost all of them come from secondary, anonymous sources. And then you have people like McMaster, who is really a very highly regarded fellow, general, contradicting them. And really what we're going on is still, I think, a lot of fumes and smoke, and there's no there. And so what really is the likely upshot of all of this? I mean, people are talking about Republicans
stepping away from the president.
That's the tragedy. If the Republicans defect and don't and punish Trump for his inconsistencies by failing to move forward on the Trump agenda, it isn't Democrats who win from that. It's the country that loses from that.
I will tell you this. I believe those folks will pay the price, because I think you make a great point about McMaster, first of all. When he comes out, he is highly respected. Say, this isn't true. This did not happen. I was in the room. This did not happen. And then the Post comes back, well, Donald Trump can declassify anything and say anything he wants because he's... That's not what was said. What was said is highly classified information was not shared with the Russians. We've been working with the Russians for years to destroy ISIS. There's nothing new here. It's what goes on. But then worse, today another example. I'm in the car listening to satellite radio, coming to the office, coming to the studio, and I flip on CNN. God help me, I don't know why. And I hear impeachment five times in 5 minutes, and it's not coming from politicians. It's coming from the people on the desk, Andrew Cuomo and others. Is this time to impeach the president? Impeach the president for what?
Yeah, thank you. I totally agree with that. I mean, look, I think the worst outcome of all this hysteria, and it sort of is hysteria, it's sort of a mounting rage. And what's it about, really? It's about electing somebody who's not one of their own. It's electing an outsider who, again, has turned convention on its head, doesn't follow the rules, etc. Would I like Trump to be more careful and not get into these landmines? That would be good, because I really think we are seeing some damage to the flow of legislation that I think everybody really wants to see put through. But ultimately, he's not going to be impeached. Is he going to be driven out to resign?
No, he's not.
That could happen,
no.
I think. I mean, I think if this guy is under relentless pressure from the media, from Republicans, from Democrats, from the intel community, which is really the group that bothers me most, you know what? A year from now, he could say, look, I did it. You know, I gave it a shot. I had a great life before. I've said this before. I've had it. And then Democrats are going to be in big trouble because they don't want Mike Pence as president, right? So my advice...
Mike Pence is much more effective, I believe.
That's right.
Chuck Schumer warned the president. Remember this? Senator Chuck Schumer said, you can't go after the intelligence community because they can really get even in ways you have no idea. And maybe that's what we're seeing. But I'm also sick of seeing headlines where Republicans are turning against Donald Trump, John McCain, Justin Amash, Lindsey Graham. These are all anti-Trump people anyway.
That's right. And now they've become the go-to sources for piling on. And you're right. I mean, most of them are people who were crushed by Donald Trump during the campaign, whether it's John Kasich or Marco Rubio or whatever. I mean, it's a very sad sack group, but they're very useful to the media because, oh my gosh, John McCain says this is Watergate era, you know, material here. Really, John McCain has lost it totally and has become a very unfair arbiter of what goes on in the Trump White House.
In fairness, Liz Peek with us from Fox News and Fiscal Times, I was going to say the one person I haven't heard a lot from recently is Marco Rubio. He was in there for a bit, but he has basically ducked down under the radar. He's not out there like John McCain or Lindsey Graham, who Lindsey Graham has... I don't think he can control himself when a news camera's around. I think he's just gravitationally pulled to a news camera, is Lindsey Graham and others. But I haven't seen Marco Rubio very much. Why is that?
Oh, I think because he's positioning himself for 2020. And there still is the fact, let's face it, that most Republicans still back Donald Trump. And I believe that, as you said earlier, if people begin to see someone like a Marco Rubio as not just going along with the devolution of this White House, but actually being a prime actor in it, like John McCain is now, I think they'll punish him. I don't think Rubio is in a great position anyway, but that would be his death knell. So, you know, he hopes to emerge as a leading member of the party, someone, you know, very strong on national security. You know, when they were confirming various national security appointments, he was the person really pressing Trump on Russian connections. And my guess is he got really lambasted for that. I know I was tweeting about it. I was so sick of him showboating in those hearings.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And so,
showboating. You know what? And that's what I think Jim Comey was. I think James Comey was a showboat who loved the camera, loved being the spotlight. That's not the position he should have been in. Everybody knows he should have gone. Donald Trump finally does what's supposed to be done, should have been done by the previous administration, and gets lambasted for it. Now, here's the other thing that I'd like to say while we're kind of going down this road. If Tom Perez is the answer for the Democrats, I don't think they understand the question.
No, I think it's very analogous to what's going on in England, where Jeremy Corbyn's back talking, the head of the Labour Party, is talking about nationalizing industries. You know what? Guess what, folks? That boat has sailed. No one really thinks that leftward lurch, either in the UK or the United States, is really the right way to go. But I am thrilled to see them going down that road. I totally agree with you, because that is not going to get the heartbeat of this country. Those voters are not coming back to the Democratic Party as long as those are the people who are running it.
Exactly true. And I was talking earlier about the election of the mayor of Omaha here, a different Oracle of Omaha,
yeah.
Because Bernie Sanders went there to plead his case. They got crushed. And then Perez went there and said, we need to, you know, abortion is the only way to go. They got crushed. And so that's over. Liz Peek, always a great conversation, my friend.
Nice to be with you. Take care.
We'll talk soon. Liz Peek, everybody. You can find her at foxnews.com and the Fiscal Times, among other places. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
All right, it is Wednesday here on the program. Glad to have you on board. This is Steve Gruber Show. Every year, the Brain Injury Association of Michigan brings the brain injury community together with lawmakers for Capital Day, and that is today. Designed to inform you, the listeners, and educate Michigan lawmakers about the current issues affecting individuals and organizations who have an interest in brain injury, Capital Day sponsored jointly by the Brain Injury Association of Michigan and several key partners, including health partners, Century Healthcare, and the Eisenhower Center. Joining me now from Century Healthcare is Matt Bluen, Director of Marketing there. Matt, welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Haven't talked to you since we did this a while back, but a lot of things going on. And what I always want to know when I talk to folks from companies like Centria is, what have we done in the last year to move ourselves forward to, you know, new technologies, new capabilities, helping out people that have, challenges, frankly.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, I would say what I wanted to point out is, you know, there's a lot of accidents that happen every year, and there's a lot of injuries that happen every year. And, you know, part of what we're doing and moving forward with is, you know, how do we make sure that there isn't anything that's put in place that deteriorates the care that we're able to provide for these folks, and the speed that we're able to start these therapies and these programs that really, really help the injured people.
Well, so I guess it's like a lot of things. The sooner you can get care, the better shape you're in. I mean, whether no matter what the injury or what the illness, the sooner you can detect something and get something started, the better shape you're in, right?
That's right. Yeah, I was working with a case manager the other day, and she called me and said, hey, I have somebody that's getting out of the hospital, and we need to start a program right away. And, you know, because of Michigan Auto No Fault and the way that it's put in place, we were able to start finding folks and getting them into the therapy and the services that they need very quickly without having to wait for lawsuits and other things to happen.
Well, absolutely. You know, things that people don't think about. They think about, you know, going to the hospital, and they understand, you know, acute care. But we're talking about in-home attendant nursing care, case management services, therapy services. I mean, just getting to the store if you're capable, you know, transportation, things that people wouldn't think about. I mean, this is part of what we do, right?
That's right, yeah. Get up in the morning every day and you have, you know, your daily tasks that you do. And, you know, sometimes when people get injured, they're not able to do these things quite as easily. And, you know, part of what we provide is attendant care and nursing care for those folks to be able to still go home and enjoy their home and enjoy their community, and also be able to do these things at home that they're used to.
I just saw this frightening stat that was provided to me. Every 18 years on average, you, the listener, you and I, apparently, Matt, we will be involved in a car accident. I didn't realize that, but 3.5 million people a year are injured in car accidents, many of them much more severe than others. But every 18 years, you and I are going to be involved in a car accident. That's crazy to me.
It's really amazing. Reading the same thing the other day, and I was thinking to myself, well, that's true, because, you know, I myself got into two car accidents. I'm 33, so the statistics are definitely there that there's a very good chance that you will get into a car accident every 18 years. And really, yeah, it's obviously some are more catastrophic than others, but the small amount that we pay in Michigan, you know, really gives us the comfort to know that everything will be covered for the life of for that person that gets in the car accident.
That traumatic injury. Now, Centria offers a wide variety of home health care solutions statewide, in fact, including the UP, because people sometimes you say statewide, does that mean the UP?
Yeah.
In this case, it does. And it's one way to separate Centria from other home care providers, providing a broad range of clinical, non-clinical specialties, catastrophic injury care, ABA therapy for kids, senior care services, all sorts of services you provide. But one of the key places you provide services for these 13,000 or so people that are part of this this fund, this catastrophic fund, that have been involved in car accidents are covered in Michigan's unique no-fault state insurance. So these people are a key part of who you take care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Every day. I mean, it's a wide varying demographic. So you have, you know, people that are young, people that are older, people that have very severe injuries that need, you know, ventilator and tracheotomy care, you know, all the way to, you know, people that just, you know, need help around the house, need assistance moving in and out of their bed, getting groceries in the day. So all of those things are, you know, things that we help with.
What occurs to me hearing you tell that story is for the rest of the family, the rest of the circle of friends, as to how much comfort that would bring to them to know that, okay, our loved one, our friend, our family member has been injured in this grievous way. But at least we don't have to worry about these portions. We don't have to worry about the therapy or the transportation because the professionals have stepped in.
That's right, yeah. And you know, it's a you know, people that get catastrophically injured, you know, that don't have this benefit in place, you know, can go into bankruptcy very easily because these services can be expensive, and going through lawsuits and all that can be very expensive. And Michigan Auto No Fault, that's a great part of this program, is that those things they don't have to worry about. All they have to worry about is getting back home and seeing their community again.
We're with Matt Bluen, the Director of Marketing for Centria Healthcare, one of the sponsors of Capital Day here. Matt, what would you say to people that say, you know what, we pay too much for car insurance and we need to save money and we don't need to do this. It's a silly system we have in Michigan that costs us money. What would you say to somebody like that?
I mean, I would say, you know, it's a couple dollars a week. When you really break it down, you know, what we're paying for this unlimited benefit is a few dollars a week. And, you know, we hear all the time that, you know, it's not going to happen to me. You know, I don't know anybody that's been in a catastrophic injury, but it happens frequently. And it's something to really look at and to be concerned with. And there's a lot of, you know, new things that are being put in place to really help with transparency in the system.
And I'm of the opinion, I've been paying ever since I've been a driver in Michigan. And, you know, if they took it back now, what did I pay for all those years would be my concern. Matt, I greatly appreciate you stopping in for Capital Day. Matt Bluen is the Director of Marketing for Centria Healthcare. Where can people find out more about the services you offer?
CentriaHealthcare.com, and I check out our services there, and also go to cpan.com as well to find out the latest in news with Auto No Fault.
There you have it, CentriaHealthcare.com. Matt Bluen, Director of Marketing. Always a pleasure. Good seeing you again. Thank you very much for being here. It is Capital Day here on the Steve Gruber Show. It is the 17th of May, 2017, and I do appreciate all of the sponsors, including Centria, Health Partners, and the Eisenhower Center, making this live broadcast from the Radisson in downtown Lansing possible today. You're listening to the Steve Gruber Show.